Venerable religious and dear parishioners, I would like to begin by emphasizing the wounds of Jesus. And we see that our Lord, when he appears on Easter Sunday evening to the 10 apostles, and the following Sunday to the 11 apostles, this time with Thomas, in addition to just making himself seen, he says, look at my wounds. And our Lord says peace to them because they needed to be forgiven. Until they were forgiven, they could not have that peace that they needed. But the five wounds of our Lord, they could have been completely healed and done away with, like all of our Lord's other wounds. Remember the statue of the scourged Christ that we had here during Lent? His whole body gashed, torn, skin hanging off, flesh torn away from his body. Why? Because of your sins and my sins and the sins of the whole world. All of that was healed in the glorified body of our Lord. His body was, didn't show any sign of that suffering. It was all done away with. But he chose to keep the five. And not only did he choose to keep those five wounds, the nail mark in both hands, the nail marks, the holes, the gaping holes in his feet, and where his side had been pierced. This is miraculous, of course. But our Lord's resurrection was his greatest miracle. His glorified body is a miracle. And he chose to keep those five wounds. And he will keep them for all eternity. If you and I persevere, and let's hope and pray with every fiber of our being we do, when we get to heaven and see God face to face, we will see that glorified body of Jesus, and we will see those same five wounds that he showed to the apostles Easter Sunday night and the following Sunday. The Paschal candle vividly reminds us of those five wounds. You see the five wax nails, red wax nails that are put into the candle. They're put in there during the blessing of the Paschal candle. And the priest takes a knife and he makes five holes because those nails will go in more readily. And also there's five blessed grains of incense that are put in, one in each hole, and to help hold that grain of incense in the candle, we have that nail inserted up on top. So a vivid reminder that those five wounds are there and will always be there. Again, they could have been done away with. After all, don't we call it a complete healing when the sign of the wound is gone? Maybe a faint scar is still there as a reminder, but no, Jesus chose to keep the holes. Why? Well, of course, we know our Lord always has the best of reasons, but I'm sure one of those reasons is that Jesus wanted to show us his mercy. He wants to show how much he wants to forgive us, how much he was willing to suffer for us. He never wants us to forget it. So the statue of the risen Christ shows us the five wounds. And what they say to us is, never forget the price of love. Never forget that I want to forgive you. And today is called Mercy Sunday. Because of the mercy that our Lord showed to his apostles on Easter Sunday night, and the following Sunday when Thomas was there, he hadn't been there the week before, what mercy they received. And remember, this mercy is for us to receive as well. We need forgiveness. Why? Because we're sinners. We've offended God. We need forgiveness. Without forgiveness, there's no salvation. And so what a powerful message, most spectacularly powerful message Jesus gives us Easter Sunday night and the week after. The apostles really needed to be forgiven because they had failed so badly. But notice, too, that it is this Easter Sunday night that our Lord institutes the sacrament of penance. He tells the apostles to hear confessions so that people can be assured of forgiveness. What a wonderful thing to have the sacrament of penance. The fathers of the church call confession or the sacrament of penance the plank after shipwreck. In baptism, we all receive the state of sanctifying grace. But when the first mortal sin came along, your soul was shipwrecked. And were it not for that plank that you were able to hold on to, you would have drowned and died. So we celebrate the institution of the sacrament of mercy, the sacrament of penance, and we will always need it again because we're sinners. The only one who could never go to confession was Our Lady. That was one sacrament she could not receive because she never sinned in any way. But the rest of mankind are sinners. You know, it's so sad that Protestants who claim to follow the Bible and accuse us of Catholics of not following the Bible will have nothing to do with confession. They reject the entire concept of the priesthood. They have no priests. Without a priest, you can't have confession. And this is the second greatest power that a priest has, a divine power. To say, I forgive you your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. I could never tell my sins to another man, is typically what you'll hear. And yet, it's right here in chapter 20 of St. John's Gospel, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you shall retain, they are retained. By the way, what does that mean? Why would the apostles and any other bishop or priest ever retain a sin? Well, this has to happen if the person is not truly repentant. You see, maybe a person has sins to confess, but is not willing to give them up. Or is not willing to remove himself from an occasion of sin. So as a good judge, as a good spiritual father, the priest who would gladly say, I forgive you, says, I can't right now because you do not have the essential dispositions of repentance. You see, we have to hate mortal sin more than any other evil. We have to be committed to renouncing all mortal sin because it is truly the greatest evil in the world. And hopefully as we grow spiritually, we will detest more and more even venial sin. But at a minimum, we have to give up mortal sin. So the priest doesn't do this acting high and mighty. Remember, the apostles were given the lesson of their life. They were not feeling high and mighty on Easter Sunday night. They felt probably this big because our Lord was appearing to them for the first time after they had flunked and failed their test so badly. And especially Peter, imagine the shame, the sorrow that he had. He had denied our Lord three times and even swore. He swore an oath that he didn't know the man. Boy, what hope this gives everyone, does it not? If the apostles could fail so badly and be forgiven. Well, if we are repentant, our Lord loves to forgive us as well. He said, I came for the sinner. Don't let your fear of confession ever keep you from receiving this mercy of our Lord. He wants to give it to you. He wants to let his blood pour out upon your soul and wash it clean of sin. And remember, every time a person regains sanctifying grace in the confessional box, a resurrection happens. How good our Lord is. What mercy, what goodness comes upon us. Remember that faith and repentance are the two most important dispositions of soul. If you want to save your soul, you have to believe everything that Jesus teaches, and you have to be repentant, at least of all mortal sin. In the Old Testament, there was no sacrament of confession. If somebody fell into mortal sin, the only way he or she could save his soul is by making an act of perfect contrition. And we know that an act of perfect contrition forgives mortal sin now, but there has to also be this, I will go to confession as soon as possible, because our Lord laid this obligation upon everyone to confess their sins through these words, this commission that he gave to the apostles on Easter Sunday. So be in a habit of being believing and repenting. Often say throughout your life, I would say, do it every day. Jesus, I believe. Make that act of faith. I believe everything that thou teachest me through thy holy church. And tell Jesus every day that you are sorry for your sins. And we can be sorry because we're afraid of being punished, but remember, that's not perfect contrition. Perfect contrition is when we say, Jesus, I'm sorry because of what my sins did to you. I don't want to hurt you again like that. Especially before we go to sleep at night, make that act of perfect contrition. We don't know. God may call us in our sleep to the next life. All of our chances will be over. We know not the day nor the hour. So let's have this habit of always telling Jesus we're sorry for our sins. It's a great way of telling him that we love him. And also kiss your brown scapular. I urge you to kiss it in the morning when you say your morning offering, and kiss it before falling asleep at night. Remember the promise of Our Lady, whoever dies devoutly wearing this scapular will not suffer the fires of hell. What a beautiful gift from our Heavenly Mother to help us to persevere in the state of grace. So let us rejoice in the mercy of God. I believe it's Psalm 88 that begins, "The mercies of the Lord I will sing forever." And the more you realize how good God has been to us, how much he's forgiven us, we can feel the sentiment of that first verse, Psalm 88. Yes, I want to just praise the mercy of God forever and ever and ever. I believe, by the way, this was the motto that Archbishop Godin took, the wonderful Vietnamese archbishop, had as his personal motto. He was conscious of the mercy of God, how wonderful it was, how much he had received, and he wanted to sing the mercies of God forever. May we all, in the spirit of that holy psalm, say, yes, this is what I want to do. Praise God for his infinite love and his mercy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.